Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to the Hour of the Time. Well, we've got everything ready to go live. We tested over the weekend to go live on the Internet. And, of course, that's just for the time of the Hour of the Time, four nights a week, Monday through Thursday, 10 Eastern. And we're not doing it tonight because we still got one little bug to iron out, and we couldn't get a hold of anybody because it's a holiday to iron out the bug to get, you know, advice from the experts. So we're going to do that tomorrow during the daytime, and cross your fingers if we're able to get that one last little bug out. We'll be live on the Internet tomorrow night, the Hour of the Time, and all you got to do to find out whether we are or not is go to the website, just watch for the, you know, about halfway down the home page. We always have a little blurb about what's happening, and it'll tell you whether or not we're going to be live tomorrow night on the Internet. So cross your fingers, and because we may be, tonight's going to be open phones for everybody, because when we go live on the Internet, there won't be any more call-ins, because we have to use one phone line to plug into WBCQ in Maine, and the other phone line will be to broadcast over the Internet. So there won't be any more call-ins for a long time. So I'm going to open the phones now and be taking your calls this whole hour. It's going to be the last time you're going to have an opportunity to call the Hour of the Time for who knows how long. If we stay live on the Internet, it's going to be a long, long time. So you might as well, you know, if you always wanted to call and never did, tonight's the night, because you're not going to have another chance for a long time. Unless, of course, we don't get that bug ironed out, and if we don't, then we'll do the same thing tomorrow night that we're doing tonight. But I'm pretty sure that we will. We got Ken is working on it, and we got the experts at Apple QuickTime, and the experts at the server place, and all of these people really know what they're doing, and the QuickTime people are working with us real hard on this to make sure that it works right. Apple has been very good to us, got to tell you. So I'm going to open the phones right now, 520-333-4578. We'll take your calls for the whole hour and see what happens. Open topic, open phones, open refrigerator, whatever you want. I don't care. Tonight's your night to howl. So howl on the Hour of the Time. 520-333-4578 is the number. And I want to I want to do this. And I'm going to go turn off the answering machine so that nobody gets cut off trying to call by the answering machine. Once again, the number is 520-333-4578. Going to be taking your calls for the whole hour tonight. Love it. Thank you, Evan Sweetwater. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
God bless you.
Thank you.
I just wondered if you had seen or heard anybody mention that show that was on Fox Channel 5 out here on the East Coast about the hoax of the moon landing.
Got a couple of people sending me tapes. No, I don't get that channel here.
Well, that's excellent. We thought about you the whole time we saw it. It was quite good and quite to the point, and it said just about, it seemed to say just everything that I heard you say years ago about it.
Well, it's like I told you a long time ago, you'd be absolutely amazed at who listens to this broadcast.
Well, it was quite impressive, and it was, like I said, you were the guy way out there in the beginning, and just made me think of you.
Well, Ralph Renee whose material they used quite a bit of, has also been way out there. So let's not forget to give him credit where credit is due. And there's a couple of other people who have stuck their neck out on this thing, too. Mm-hmm. So they deserve the credit that they've earned.
All right. Well, I'm glad you've got some people sending you some stuff on. I just wanted to bring that up to you. God bless you, and take care of yourself.
Thank you. The only Fox channel that I get here is FX, which has some good programming, and others is way off the wall. But that's neither here nor there. I don't watch much anyway. I like to watch X-Files when Chris Carter is stealing material from my book. Thanks.
All right, sir.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
520-333-4578 is the number. Be taking your calls for the whole hour tonight. This is your night to howl. You may not have another chance for a long, long time because we're going live on the Internet. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. I just called in because it's the last chance I'll get since you're going down to two phone lines.
Well, good. Go.
Too bad you don't have three phone lines.
Hey, man, I live in rural Arizona.
I see.
And the people who built this phone system here, guess who they were?
Mormons.
No. GTE.
AT&T.
No, GTE.
GTE?
As far as I know, the Mormon Church is not in the phone business, although they might be somewhere.
I'm thinking Utah, not Arizona. You know, out here I have cable Charter pipeline, and that's the very best modem. About 2 or 3 megabytes per second there.
We'll probably have that maybe in another 20 years out here.
Oh, well. Well, that's about it. I just wanted to get my last chance in on the phone line. I'll let someone else call.
Thanks for calling.
Bye now.
520-333-4578 is the number. Yep, it was GTE. That was the worst phone company in the whole world. They never updated anything. I mean, we still got stuff out here that's looks like Mr. Edison made it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Ray in New York.
Hi, Ray.
Throw a few more cents at you.
Okay.
I wanted to recommend to your readers a book that's been put out by Reader's Digest called Back to Basics. And it's an outstanding book on how to learn and enjoy traditional American skills. And this book covers everything from gardening to pest control, beekeeping, fish farming, raising livestock like rabbits, how to skin them, how to make soap, how to make candles. This book is absolutely fantastic.
You know how we raise rabbits in Arizona?
No, sir, I don't.
Water your lawn. You water your lawn, get up real early. Your lawn will be covered with rabbits chomping on your grass. You don't have to do anything. Just water your lawn. You can have all the rabbits you want.
The reason I thought about actually mentioning this book is, some time ago, some people were asking about purification of water. And there's one subject on page 418 about water purification using iodine crystals that you can get USP grade from the pharmacist.
Uh-huh.
And you put about, it says 5 grams of these iodine crystals in a 1 ounce bottle of water. And fill it with water, shake it up, and then you pour off or decant only the saturated liquid. The crystals stay at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And about 2 teaspoons of the solution to 1 quart of water will disinfect it. And that bottle of iodine crystals can be reused up to about 1,000 times.
Oh, well, that's nice.
There's so much great information in this book. I really highly suggest people to get out and...
Well, I suggest they get that kind of information from any and every source that they can, because we may have to do that, you know. Who knows what's going to happen. I can tell you this, though, that when the buffalo chip hits the fan, the power company ain't going to be feeding you electricity. And if you're not ready for that, most Americans are just going to go right off the deep end. Boy, you want to see some... you want to see a long line at the mental institution? Just shut off everybody's power for 3 months.
Oh, that'll do it.
It sure will.
Oh, this book is outstanding. I don't mean to go on and on about it, but there's everything from canning vegetables and processing meats and smoking meats. It's just an outstanding book.
Yeah.
So I thought you might be interested. I'm sure it will help those of us that are willing to fight this fight when the time comes.
Great.
I thank you for all your hard work, and God bless, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. It's your night to howl, so get on the phone. Good evening. You're on the air.
What's good, man? How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, Robert from Tennessee.
Hi, Robert.
I got a quick question. On the, can you buy that that CD that sometimes you play it on your show? It's called The New World Order.
Yeah, you can. As a matter of fact, $16.
$16.
Yeah, postpaid.
So I sent it to Hot the address station there.
That's right.
Okay, for $16.
$16, yeah.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you can. You can buy it. Anthony J. Hilder, Evan Sweetwater. It's The New World Order. America spelled with a K, and I forget the other one. The jackbooted Nazi thugs are coming is what I call it. You hear the helicopter and the pounding on the door, and the poor guy wakes up and says, honey, something's not right. You'd be surprised how many Americans have been through that experience, and some of them have not lived to tell the tale. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing, Mr. Cooper?
Good.
Greetings. I heard something today. I was just listening to the regular news there on one of the channels, and they were been talking a lot here lately about the Oklahoma bombing, and the president had a little visit out there today or yesterday, one or the other.
Yeah.
And he said something, really kind of the first thing that he's really said that kind of scared me and my ears went up. He said, talking about terrorists and talking about watching, that they have a responsibility to watch. And I never heard you really say anything about it. I don't get to hear you that much, but most of the stuff that I read and heard from some other sources, they didn't really believe McVeigh was totally and completely responsible.
No, he wasn't. I think McVeigh was used. I think McVeigh thought that he was a part of a clandestine government operation to actually catch terrorists in the act. And he was the patsy, like Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah, there you go. Kind of what I've been thinking, too, from information that I had.
I have absolutely no doubt about it. See, the Second Continental Army of the Republic Intelligence Service conducted an investigation. The results of that investigation was published in Michelle Marie Moore's book, Oklahoma City Day One. And that's only a small, minuscule portion of what we actually discovered. It only covers what happened on that day, and just what's in that book will curl your hair and make you never believe another thing that any government agency or government employee ever tells you ever again. And like I said, it's just a minuscule portion of what we learned about what happened in Oklahoma City and who was behind it.
Yeah, so I got a hold of one tape that had a General Parton on it. Some people from Texas had...
Yeah, we were the first ones who found General Parton. We published in Veritas newspaper, and we're the first ones to put him in print. Huge story about the nature of the bomb and how a truck full of fertilizer couldn't possibly have severed those steel reinforced columns that held up that building.
Right. I've done some work around mining, and I knew that was impossible.
Well, I did too. I knew it from my training in the military. I also knew it from my years as a diver and a diving instructor and teaching underwater demolition and working underwater to do some of the things that would have been required to bring that building down.
Yes, sir. It is totally ridiculous.
And by the way, we did use ammonium nitrate in the diving industry as an explosive to clear channels through reefs and things like that. So
oh, yeah.
So I'm experienced with what it will do.
Oh, yeah, it has its uses, but it's so slow burning that it just
not only that
had the effect on that kind of structure.
Yeah, not only that, but it's well known amongst people who work with and know anything about explosives as a trenching tool. It's not a high explosive. It won't cut steel reinforced columns, but it will dig a nice trench if you need a trench dug.
That's right. You can pile it up next to a column, and if you don't drill the column or something, it's not even going to do anything to it.
That's right.
Another thing, we got a tape from a Senator Dukes, I believe, that's there at the Capitol there. I guess he's a Oklahoma senator or something.
You're talking about Representative Key? I don't know who you're talking about. I never heard of Senator Duke.
Key? Okay, maybe.
I know Key.
Maybe it is Key. Maybe I'm getting old. I've got that Alzheimer's disease. Sometimes I can't remember anything. Maybe it was him. He came out with a tape that didn't really say whether McVeigh was innocent or guilty or who was, but they just covered a whole lot of evidence.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see it.
Okay, I'll try to find that. You might be interested in it. I've met some people. There's a lady just moved here in my hometown from Oklahoma, and I talked to another lady about getting some information from one of the oil industries that's home office was out there, and I talked to them about it, and they hadn't seen the tape, and they were from there in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And I thought that was strange, you know, that we had it here in South Carolina where I live.
Well, those people in Oklahoma City don't want to hear it.
Well, these two
they don't want to hear it. Their minds are closed unless they were involved in some way and accidentally stumbled upon what was going on. And there are some people there, but mostly the people in Oklahoma City and the whole state of Oklahoma don't want to hear it.
Well, you know, that's probably so. But my experience is that I talked to that one lady out there with Phillips Petroleum, and she was very interested, and she said that most of her friends believed that, you know, what went down, they weren't told the truth about it.
No, they weren't. This guy in charge of Elohim City, this supposed white racist guy that's in charge of that little white racist community there, he's been a government informant for many, many years. We found that out in our investigation. He knew all about it the whole time. Everybody knew about it, except the people in that building. The Oklahoma City Police knew about it. The governor knew about it. The bomb squad knew about it. They were there at 6 o'clock that morning.
Yeah, no, I heard that.
I could go on and on and on, but we don't have time. I want to try to get as many people in here tonight as possible because they're not going to have another chance for a long time. So
well,
I got to let you go.
You're one of the only people that I listen to on the radio anymore at all. Man, we just appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you.
You have been accurate and honorable, and you're a little bit mean, but we can handle it.
Well, you know, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Have a good night.
I demand excellence. Thanks for calling. Yeah, folks. I you know, started out being real kind and nice to everybody, and all I got was eggheads, airheads, jerks, racists, you name it. No intelligence at all in the calls. And I just decided I'm not going to stand for it anymore. Not in the people around me, not on the people who call this broadcast, not anybody that's associated with me. I will not accept less than brains and intelligence and that you use them. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hear me?
Yep. You have a bad line, or you're on a Rome phone or something. It's not working. 520-333-4578. I hate to cut people off like that, but you heard it. There was nothing there, just squeaks and squelches and stuff. 520-333-4578. Be taking your calls for the rest of the hour. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Kathy, and my husband and I lost you for quite a while. We finally found where you were again on shortwave. That's where I'm listening from. Just have a couple of questions for you. With the road markings from many years ago, you've heard of them. You've heard of people taking them down. I wanted to know where we were at as far as they were still utilizing that. They have another more improved system now. If you've heard anything later about new concentration camps and probably that would be probably about enough right now.
No, I don't pay any attention to any of that stuff because that's just something to keep you spinning around in a circle chasing your tail. We know that eventually they're going to come after everybody who is a patriot. They're going to come after anybody who will oppose their new world order. And they're going to round us up and put us in camps if they can. Okay? So why do we have to go around looking for these things when we know that's what they're going to do?
As far as the Echelon system is concerned, do you believe that they're actually monitoring every single phone call, like from the States? And I know they are with overseas stuff.
No.
What about regular conversations?
No. Common sense will tell you that. How many phone calls do you think are made every single minute in this country alone, not counting the rest of the world? They don't have enough people on Earth to monitor all the phone calls. They'd have to employ the people that are making the calls that are being monitored to monitor somebody else at the same time.
Well, from what I understand, it wasn't just the people. There were huge computers that have a capability of doing this.
It doesn't make any difference. Somebody has to eventually listen to them if it's going to be productive. So what they do is they monitor keywords and phrases. Those calls are recorded, and then they have some kind of a computer program that goes through and determines by the number of words and key phrases that they are looking for whether or not a real human is going to have to sit there and listen to the call. That's what they do.
Thank you.
You know, you guys have to learn to use common sense in this stuff. 99% of what's floating around out there that you hear is total bullshit crap. And if you just sit down for 1 second and listen to it and use your common sense, you'd know it. Throw it back in the guy's face that gave it to you. Tell him to take his bullshit crap and get away from you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, I was curious whether or not there's any evidence that a Ryder truck was even involved in the Oklahoma City era bombing.
There are witnesses who saw a Ryder truck pull up outside in front of the building. Whether or not that truck had explosives in it, whether or not that truck blew up, but, you know, that's, I have no idea.
Yeah, I would always wonder where the engine, transmission, leaf springs, frame, all these truck parts would have been. That's the only thing they found, and that was the governor that found it, was the rear axle with a number on it.
Well, I'll tell you, a rear axle would have a part number on it, and they would never have been able to determine which truck or where it came from or who owned it or who rented it for weeks.
Yeah.
And yet they knew, like, in 20 minutes.
Yeah. And
it was bullshit. And the governor found it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, look, here's an axle. Let's get this number, and it'll lead us to Timothy McVeigh.
That's pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I like the way they pulled them over.
Now, if you don't believe me, folks, go out to any car or truck in this nation, get the number off the rear axle, and try and find out who owns that truck. Do it. I've already tried it. It's impossible.
Another interesting thing was that McVeigh was pulled over for speeding in a car with no license plate, and he's armed with, a Glock semi-auto.
Yeah, that's what he carried.
And he didn't, he wasn't paranoid enough to even shoot the cop.
Well, when I saw him, when he came to visit me,
mm-hmm.
he had that Glock. He was wearing it. I told all this to the FBI. They weren't interested.
Uh-huh.
I told him he was with John Doe number two. Michael Brescia was his name. I know who John Doe number two is. Across the street, dressed up like a Miami tourist, was this guy that's head of this Elohim City. Right down the street, watching all of us when they came to visit. They didn't come to visit me. They came to buy some stuff from Tim Lesperance's surplus store. And Tim brought them next door and introduced us. But right down the street was a little treasury car with Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms agents in it, taking pictures of everything. I thought the whole thing was funny. And they were telling us that they were going to do something, wanting to know if we'd help them. And I told them, if I don't know what you're going to do, there's no way I'm going to promise you any help because you might go and kill somebody, and I don't want any part of that.
No American patriot would want to kill American citizens.
And listen to this. He asked me, he says, well, you know, if we do this and we're looking for a place to hide, I said, what should I do if – he said, what should I do if a cop stops us? I said, well, you know – chances are he's going to give you a ticket. Be nice, listen to him, and, you know, give him your driver's license, let him give you a ticket, and go on your way. But if you kill somebody, I hope you get caught. That's what I told him. But that's probably why he didn't pull out his gun and shoot the police officer, because of what I told him.
Well, that's very possible.
And for those of you who think I'm full of crap here, there were at least 8 other people there in the research center on the day that they came. There was Granny from St. John's. There was Tim Lesperance. There was Tim Lesperance's son, Peter. There was Bart Chow. There was Michael. Gosh, I forgot Michael's last name. There was a whole bunch of people there. Whole bunch of people there.
Do you think it was McVeigh that notified all of those government officials and those judges not to go to work that day when that building blew up?
I don't know, but I don't think McVeigh wanted to kill anybody.
Right.
I mean, he assured me that day that whatever they did, they wouldn't kill anybody.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. It's a real inside job that none of the judges were there, none of the agents were there.
And I had no idea what they were going to do. I had no idea what they were going to do. They wanted to know if we'd help them. I said no. They wanted to know specifically if the Arizona militia would help them. I said no, absolutely no, because we have no idea what you're going to do. They said, we're not going to do anything that's going to hurt anybody or get anybody in trouble, but watch Oklahoma. That's what they said.
It was a really stupid thing to do because prior to that, that so-called terrorism bill, which was one of the worst pieces of legislation in this nation's history, had no chance of passing. And after that building mysteriously blew up, they passed it right away.
That was the whole purpose of the whole thing. And Timothy McVeigh was a patsy. Timothy McVeigh was an American patsy. He would have never done anything like that if he thought that what happened was going to happen.
Nobody but a real criminal would injure American citizens.
That's right. I believe that he was recruited by the intelligence community. See, because he was one of General Schwarzkopf's security in Desert Storm. He was in touch with high-level military people and government people. When he got out of the Army, he wanted while he was in the Army, when he came back from Desert Storm, he wanted to be in Special Forces. He volunteered, went down to where they trained down there in the South, and washed out. Now, Timothy McVeigh could never have washed out of Special Forces training. So they washed him out, and then somebody recruited him and put him into that to do that. And I'm pretty sure that what they told him was that he was going to help them catch some bad people in this country who were subversives who were going to blow things up. I'm pretty sure that's what happened, and I think that's what he thought he was involved in, and they used him as a patsy because everybody else got away.
One final question, I'll let you go. Do you think this is going to be a mock execution and that he'll have a new identity after it's over?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But the thought has crossed my mind many times, and if that's what happened, then he was in on the whole thing the whole time.
Right. Well, thanks for your programming. We really enjoy it.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Yeah, I've said all this before, folks, on the air. Said it right after the bombing. I've said it for years. Told it all to the FBI. They weren't interested. They weren't interested in catching John Doe number 2 ever, nor the guy who helped finance the whole thing. Good evening. You're on the air. Or the guy that's head of Elohim City who was a part of it all. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello. This is Paul in Ohio.
Hi, Paul.
Change the subject a little bit and get back to one of the best programs I've heard in a long time that you've had on your camera stuff. I wonder if you'd care to answer a question. I was just given a Petri Flex 7 camera and CC Auto 1 double point.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It has like a bullseye right in the front.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's the meter.
Yeah.
That's good as a collector's item because it's a strange camera. It's a strange kind of a meter and stuff like that. But I got to tell you something about Petris. I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole except for the color 35.
Oh, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Wondered if they were any good or anything like
now,
that.
Now, that particular model that you got is a collector's item because it's because of, well, look at it. it's a neat camera. But as far as quality and all that kind of stuff, Petri was not known for that. But the color 35 is. The color 35 is almost an exact copy of the Rolly 35, and the lens on the color 35 is really a good lens.
Well, this has a Japanese lens in it.
Yeah.
And the peculiar thing about this whole story is that I was at a flea market, and I saw a little black case for $1, and I opened it up, and there were two beautiful lenses in it.
Yeah.
And it were a Petri lens, a wide angle.
Uh-huh. What did you pay for the camera?
And I paid $20 for the camera, but I got that after I got the lenses.
Yeah. Well, you got a good deal. I mean, it'll take pictures if it's not broken.
Mm-hmm.
And if the lens works, it'll probably give you good pictures for a while until the quality comes out. But that is a collector's item, and if you ever get tired of it, you can, when you find people who collect those particular types of cameras, you can turn your $20 probably into about $200.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've got an old copy of Popular Science that I looked at, and it mentioned that it was in the $300 to $400 class when it was sold.
Yeah, but not anymore. The only value it has now is collector's value.
I see.
It has no value whatsoever, unless you're going to use it to take pictures, and you'll get good pictures for as long as it lasts. But Petris were known for breaking. They break eventually. And
well, thank you very much, Bill.
Okay.
I love your program on that photography stuff, and I'm listening to it every Thursday night.
Well, you're welcome.
Have a good night, then.
You too.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got yourself a deal, and if you can find somebody that collects those things, you can probably turn that $20 into that, you know, that camera and those two lenses, turn that $20 into about $200, if that's what you want to do. If you really like the camera, I think it's a neat looking camera myself. I like the way it looks, and if I was a collector, I'd probably have one. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill, this is Tom from California.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, I just want to say thank you. I read your book and about the, you mentioned the Masons.
Uh-huh.
Just wanted to let you know that I've collected Morals and Dogma, Legenda, and a bunch of these other kind of hard-to-find books, and wanted to thank you for it.
Yeah, they make some incredible admissions in there, don't they?
It's pretty amazing. You know, Pike, I read some of the pro-Mason websites where they try to defend him.
Yeah.
And they dig up all the issues, and they...
Oh, they don't ever answer the questions. And then they say, then if you really pin them on something that is absolutely damning, then they claim, well, no one is authorized to speak for Freemasonry. They're just the biggest double-talking, lying, puke-faced subversives in this whole world. And what really makes it so bad is most of the ones on the lower rungs of initiation have no idea what they're involved in. And so they stand up for it just like, you know, like the fools that they are. Who in the world would join a secret society where they won't even tell you anything about it whatsoever until after you've been initiated and sworn upon pain of death that you'll never reveal the secrets? Now, that's a fool if I ever saw one.
Yes, it is. And Bill, you had that caller earlier that talked about the Oklahoma City bombing.
Uh-huh.
Would it be all right if I sent you like a money order or some cash to cover the price of Oklahoma City Day 1, and maybe, you know, he could write a letter to you and then you could send the book to him? Would that be okay? Like, can I pay for the book and then have you send it to him or something?
Why don't you do that? Yeah. But I prefer that you order it on the website.
Okay.
Do you have means to do that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, order it on the website. It's right there.
All right.
Okay?
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. And don't worry, folks. We don't steal your credit card numbers. We don't give out any of your information. We don't keep your credit card numbers or your order on the server or the computer so that it can be hacked by anybody. Your information is absolutely perfectly safe. Okay? We're the only ones that see it. And, of course, the bank where the credit card payment is processed, and that's it. Nobody else ever sees it. 520-333-4578, taking your calls for the whole hour. And this may be the last time you ever get the call in for a long time to come. Good evening. You're on the air.
I'm calling about this gym in St. Louis.
Yeah?
About every half hour on our radio and television and all the stations, there's advertisements for home equity loans. Do you know anything about that?
I know that if you've got equity in your home and you have a mortgage and you're trying to pay off your mortgage and you go get yourself in more debt by getting a home equity loan, chances are you're going to lose your house. That's what I know about it.
I understand that part of it, but the other part is I don't understand where it's coming from. What's behind all this?
What do you mean? It doesn't have to come from anywhere. Somebody wants to give you credit, they can give you credit. They're not giving you any real money. It's an electronic transaction.
Who's authorizing all that credit? Where's all that credit coming from?
Guess. Where's the only place the credit can come from in our banking system?
Well, I have that view. I just wanted to know what you...
The Federal Reserve.
Yes. And is there, you know, if there's a, you, can you project a purpose behind it?
Yeah, steal your house.
That's what I thought.
That's the purpose behind it, to steal your house. If you're so much in debt that you just gotta put your house in hock to get some more money because you can't stand to save your money to buy what you want. You got to have money right. You're doomed. You're doomed. You're going to lose your house.
Well, every half hour, every station, radio or television, there are these advertisements for home equity loans. It's unbelievable to me.
Well, why? That's the whole purpose of a debt-based banking system.
Well, they took over
the whole
during the 30s.
The whole purpose of a debt-based banking system is to steal your property.
Well, this is something new in the last 3 months.
It's not new. It's always been that way.
I mean, the extent of it, relatively speaking.
Well, that may just be in your area. That means some finance company in your area has decided that they can make a lot of money on interest and steal a lot of houses by doing that, and so they bought a lot of airtime and they're advertising.
Okay, there's three different companies.
It doesn't matter if there's 5 million. It's going on everywhere, and it's always been
there. Okay, that's right. It's elsewhere, too. It prevails everywhere.
How do you think they lost their farms?
That's the idea.
It's the idea. Go into debt, you have one bad crop, and your farm is gone. Go into debt on your house, you lose your job for 2 months, and your house is gone.
If there was any kind of a turndown in terms of losing jobs, there'd be an awful lot of real estate titles turned over to the banking system.
Well, yeah. But you know what?
What?
Hey.
Yes?
Maybe stupid deserves it.
Oh, it's so sad.
It may be sad, but hey, nobody twisted those people's arms to do it.
But
nobody forced that farmer to buy a $150,000 combine.
But people are in such debt, they're very desperate.
People are stupid. Why are they in so much debt?
Can't resist temptation.
Because they're stupid and greedy. They can't wait to save up enough money to buy what they want. They got to have it right now.
That's true.
They can't go in a restaurant and sit down and wait for the waitress to bring them a menu and order and wait a decent length of time while somebody prepares a nice meal for them. They gotta have a Big Mac.
Yep.
Right now.
Right.
Not in 5 minutes. I want it now.
Right.
So, you know, I have no sympathy. None.
I look forward to your internet program.
Well, it's going to be this one right here. You're just going to be able to hear it on the internet.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have access to those tapes that you made on the Babylon. Unbelievable.
Good.
Unbelievable. James, did you do anything better than that? Have you done anything better than that?
What do you want from me? You want a quart of blood? Send me your address. I'll bleed myself tomorrow. I'll send you a quart of blood. That took years and years and years of research to do, and now you want to know if I did anything better than that?
You're right.
I'm going to send you a quart of blood.
You're right.
You sound like a vampire to me.
You are all right.
You want to
suck
my blood. Can't believe it. Not satisfied with that. He wants to know if I did anything better. If I never do anything else in my life. That was a great accomplishment that nobody else in history has ever done. 520-333-4578. But just for you, if you send me your name and address, I'll send you a quart of blood. First, it was a pint. I think you deserve a quart, don't you folks? Think he deserves a quart? I'll give him a quart of blood. 520-333-4578 is the number. Not thank you, but have you done anything better? And you wonder. You wonder, folks. 520-333-4578. This is the last opportunity you're going to have to call this broadcast for a long time. So if you've been wanting to call, you better do it now. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Turn off your radio.
Bill, this is Joe from Techville.
Hi, Joe.
We were doing some research on allodial titles.
we came up with a conclusion. And the conclusion is that neither the state or the federal government can tax real estate directly.
That's what I've been telling you for years and years and years.
All right. Now, when you look around and you know how money-hungry both the states are and the federal government, you notice that they do not tax real estate directly. The only taxation here that we have in Pennsylvania on real estate is through the local county government, the local small town government, and the school board.
Mm-hmm.
And the school boards indicate that they can tax through state laws. But yet the school board is not a legislative body. I'm beginning to think that nobody can tax your real estate. If the state and federal government cannot tax your real estate, how the hell can the local county people do it?
The only way they can tax it is if you haven't paid for it and you don't really own it. Do you have an allodial title? Do you have a warranty deed?
We have a warranty deed, but
then you don't own your property. The state
correct.
Does.
From the book that I read, it's just an extension of the feudal system that they had over in England.
That's right. Whatever the state owns, the state can
and
tax.
And if the state wants it back, the state takes it. But see, the peculiarity is, and I think there's a thing called in Pennsylvania a continuous land grant patent, and if you have what's called a continuous land grant patent.
Yes.
Whereby when the state issued the first patent of land, warrant of land, and you kept that continuously in your family since the first patent, then you are immune from any kind of eminent domain proceedings or anything where the government or can take that land back.
You're immune from it anyway if you can prove that you paid for it in lawful money, which is coin, and that you own it.
Well, that's correct. From according to the book that I'm reading.
Yes.
But it seems to me when the states first issued these patents and when the federal government first issued these patents that they surrendered all their interest in that land. So how then can they come back and tax the land and claim the land?
They can't. It's a scam. It's based upon the ignorance of the people.
Well, I tend to agree with you.
It's all done under the color of law and the commercial code, and it has absolutely no foundation at all.
Now, there was a society, I think, called the Jural Society in California that was trying to disconnect from the taxation liability, and their first step was to unregister yourself at the courthouse because they claimed that that was the adhesion contract.
Oh, they claim all of these. They claim a lot of things.
But I tend to think
the truth is anything that you are entered into without having been explained all of the terms of the contract is fraud.
Well, that would be the entire system.
Well, you got it. And
it seems to me that the mechanisms where the government attaches to us has to do with the county government, more so than the county governments attaching to the state and federal government.
No.
There are some mechanisms there that I don't understand, but I'm almost convinced that it's the federal government and the state government somehow attached to the county government because they have the sheriff, they tax, the school board, and the taxing authorities there are in effect. Whereas
they do that, and it's done by these hidden secret agreements. But it's all unlawful, and it's all unconstitutional, and it's all illegal.
I agree with you. That's the conclusion I'm coming to.
The Constitution says that no state can make a treaty with any other state, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
What's an agreement between a state and the federal government?
What is an agreement between a state and the federal government?
Yeah, what's it called? The federal government is a state, isn't it?
It's a corporation, I guess.
The federal government is a state. It's defined as a state in the law.
Really?
Arizona is also a state in the law.
So
when two states have an agreement with each other, it's called a treaty. It's forbidden in the Constitution.
Well, I brought that issue up when I challenged giving my Social Security number at the motor vehicle department, and they claimed that they made a law, and so many states agreed to demand Social Security numbers when you go to get your photograph.
They can make whatever laws.
And so I challenged it, and I finally got connected me with Harrisburg and the top attorney, And finally, after about 20 minutes, she admitted that the state government had no jurisdiction to demand a Social Security number.
That's what I've been telling you for years.
But she said to me that I would have to probably litigate for 3 years before I got my driver's license renewed, and it was had to be renewed within the next week.
If you understood the law, you'd understand you don't need a driver's license.
Yeah, I know, but
That's a revenue scam. To bring in money. The whole purpose of the Highway Patrol is to create money.
Well, they're doing very well at that.
Yes, they are. But where are you going with this? We don't have time to do a lesson on all of this stuff tonight.
It's just that it's disgusting. When you get into everything, you find out that it's nothing but a scam.
Well, it is a scam.
Absolutely disgusting. And the courts are the people supporting this scam. Some people put this all together thoroughly. Go to court, lay it all out, and the judge says to them, well, Mr. Such and Such, it's not me, someone else.
Whoa, you're absolutely correct,
but I am the judge, and I'm going to overrule.
Hold it. I told you, we don't have time for this. I'm going to let you go.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
No, sir. I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much. Good night. Gee, 520-333-4578. I understand his frustration. I understand everybody's frustration, but, you know, that's why the original 13 colonies wouldn't allow somebody called an attorney to come into the colony. They tarred and feathered them and hung them up because these guys speak with forked tongues. They use words to twist the law and steal people's property and take money from them. And they create schemes to give power to municipalities and counties and state governments where they don't have that power or the jurisdiction to do those things. And when you get down to the root of the law, you start finding this stuff out. But most people are so ignorant, and it's the weight of the number of people who accept this stuff as being true and going along with it that causes everybody else to be coerced into the system. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is a fella I went to go sign up for the internet today, and he does business in Southern Arizona, and he says, I asked him if he knew William Cooper. He says, yeah. And we got talking, he says, you got to read his books. Now, where do I get them?
Where do you get what?
Your books.
Which books?
I don't know, he said something about rider on a horse or something like that.
Go to the website.
Oh, okay.
Buy them on the website.
Because it's a small world. I mean, it's just incredible. But, Bill, you're doing a great job. I love listening to you. God bless you.
Thank you.
I'm gone.
Yeah, go to the website. If you want to buy anything that we've got, it's on the website. Whatever we have for sale is on the website. 520-333-4578. And it's not anything of mine. It all belongs to the website. It doesn't belong to me. 520-333-4578 is the number. And, folks, if we go live tomorrow night, and I think we will, then this may be the last time you ever get to call in and talk on this broadcast. It might be, well, I'll tell you what, if we're live on the internet every night, it's going to be like forever that you won't be able to call and talk anymore. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Just wanted to thank you for provoking thought.
Well, that's the whole purpose of this broadcast.
Absolutely.
Is to provoke thought and excellence in intellectual ability. So many people think they don't have the capacity to think. And so they've accepted what they've been told all their life. I know people who hate their job, but they're stuck in that job because they don't believe that they have the mental capacity to go and do anything else. And
the first time I heard you, I thought you were nuts.
Well, I am nuts.
No, you know, some of the stuff you were saying sounded so outrageous, and then I read it, because you said, don't believe me, check it out for yourself.
Yeah.
And I was so glad you said that, and you ticked me off at first.
Good. That's what's got you going, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If I'd have been real nice to you and dripping with honey, you'd have never done any of it, would you?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I still would have been stupid, ignorant. But I greatly appreciate what you've done, sir.
Well, thank you.
God bless you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
520-333-4578 is the number. Time for you to call, because this is the last time you're going to be able to do it for a long, long time to come, unless something happens where we can't broadcast on the internet anymore, but I don't foresee that. I don't foresee that happening. I think we're going to be on the internet for a long time if we just get this one little bug ironed out. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Bob from New York.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
All right. I'm glad I can have a chance to talk with you tonight. I have a question I wanted to ask you about your opinion on the NorFed money that's being offered out there for those that want to partake. Do you have any opinion of that?
What's NorFed?
It's called the National Organization for the Repeal of the Federal Reserve Act. And what they're doing is you turn in dollar for dollar. The money that they have to offer is backed by silver and gold. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've got some of their money sitting in there that somebody sent me.
Do you have any opinion in regards to that? Because it's still privately owned.
Well, I'll tell you what. As long as they stay out of the Federal Reserve System and you want to be a part of their private money system, then that's okay if you believe that their money has value.
Yeah.
That's up to you.
Yeah,
what I want is to do is return to constitutional money based upon gold and silver coin.
That's exactly right.
If our money has no intrinsic value whatsoever, it's worthless. It's a paper system, and all paper systems eventually collapse after a long run of inflation.
That's right.
And we've been inflating like crazy. I remember back in the 50s, 1958, my father could support a family of five. My mother never had to go to work. On $10,000 a year.
Yeah.
Comfortably, family of five on $10,000 a year. Try that today.
Impossible.
Yeah. And I still have people that tell me that there's no inflation in the United States.
they're entitled to their opinion, but, you know, they're not in the reality, and they're still in Disney World.
Yeah. That's right.
That's the way it is. I got one other question in regards to, have you ever been able to make contact with Michael, the gentleman down in New Mexico?
Michael Cottingham?
Yes.
I got one email from him and never heard from him again. As soon as he found out that the feds had issued warrants for my arrest and Annie's arrest, he tucked his tail between his legs and ran like the rabbit that I guess he turned out to be.
Oh, boy. Well, I know one thing. When I was down there, I really enjoyed the presentation he had, and when I also enjoyed the time when I was down there with Michelle Moore. I'd like to see you guys get together again sometime and do a program.
Well, I don't know. It's up to her.
Yeah. Well, it takes both to work it out, but I'm enjoying your program, and I look forward to listening to tomorrow night. My wife and I bought the credits, and we're looking forward to it.
Okay. Yeah, all of you who have been calling me and telling me that you're having problems receiving the Hour of the Time on shortwave, if you have access to a computer, you should have no problems hearing the Hour of the Time like I hear it right here in the studio on the Internet.
That's right. Well, I want to thank you for everything, and God bless, and look forward to the show to keep on going and to really make a go of it.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, hang in there.
You too. Thanks for calling. And that reminds me, those of you who have not sent in your donation for the month of February, we need it now. HOTT, H-O-T-T, care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager. Spell EAGAR, Arizona, 85925. That's HOTT, H-O-T-T, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. Thank all of you who have sent in your donations. Those of you who have not, please do so now. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. I just want to say hello. There was a guy who mentioned about the land patents in Virginia. And I'm in Kentucky. If you wanted to do more research on the internet, our state government website, it's sos.state.kentucky.us. I know they've got a whole bunch of stuff on Kentucky land patents, and they also talk about Virginia too, because Kentucky being, you know, originally a county or a district of Virginia.
Yeah.
Another guy, he mentioned about the Jural Society in California. As far as I know, that doesn't exist anymore. John Quaid, one of the guys that was in that, he actually lived with me for a couple of months and was kind of down on his luck the last time I saw him. And I tried to contact him at his last known address and haven't been able to ever get a hold of him.
Uh-huh.
And the thing on NorFed, I've actually met the Bernard Knothouse. I've met him, and he seems sincere about it. You know, whether people want to get involved with it, I mean, that's a different thing, but I think he's a sincere person about it. I don't think he's getting rich at all off of it from what I had seen. And I worked just in an office down the hallway at one point.
I don't care if somebody gets rich. That's a socialist point of view that nobody should get rich. That's crap. The American dream is that you do something, you exert your talents and your skills, and you get as rich as you want, giving people what they want, whatever
right.
that happens to be. And the only person that will ever object to that is a socialist, puke-faced, subversive, Marxist, communist pig.
Right. I'm glad you corrected me on that. Yeah. I didn't mean to imply that.
A lot of
people just want information for free, and that's a communist idea. That's silly.
Sure is. People should be paid for what they do, whatever it is.
I just want to say thanks for replying on the email. I know that you don't usually get to do that, so I just wanted to call in since this may be one of the last call-ins you're having for a while and say hello.
Well, thank you. Got to let you go. We're out
of time. Okay. Take care.
Thank you for calling. That's it, folks. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. I hope we're live on the Internet tomorrow night. If we are, then that's great. If we're not, we'll do this again tomorrow night because I want to give you all as much chance to talk as I possibly can before it's impossible for you to do that. So I want to say good night, Annie Poo and Allison. I love you with all my heart, and I miss you so terribly much. See you guys tomorrow night.